It is more of the best of the Cooking in the Dark show.
Welcome to Cooking in the Dark.
The kitchen. I will go to the kitchen. And although some recipes I cannot read, still I'm sure I can do everything I need. This show, Cooking in the Dark, it is the key. He's a mighty talkative Texan. You know Cheryl, she tells him so. I know Dale Campbell would like to welcome you to this here show.
Cooking in the Dark is a presentation of Blind Mice Mega Mall at www.blindmicemegamall.com.
Holy moly, guacamole!
Welcome to Cooking in the Dark. This is Cheryl Cummings, and I'm going to introduce to you the man who proves to us every week that you don't need sight to cook dinner tonight, Dale Campbell.
Thank you. All right, so here we are on the eve of my favorite holiday. Well, third most, I guess. First holiday I like the best is Christmas, of course. Just for the giving and the good. I mean, everybody's so good around Christmas. And never, you know, come New Year's, everybody forgets all everything. Gets all nasty and greedy and selfish again, but that's the way it is. Then the other favorite holiday is my birthday.
I keep lobbying
for that to be a worldwide, national holiday. But say, oh, today's Dale's birthday. But yeah, I've got about 12 signatures, and they're all mine. But you know, can't get anybody else on board with that idea. That's all right. But Halloweeny, I love Halloween. You know, we used to have great parties back. Oh, remember growing up, my mom liked Halloween. You know, she was into it. She did, like, the peeled grape thing, you know, for eyeballs, or, you know, cut carrots off the thin ends of carrots and let them sit in the fridge, you know, for a few days. Mm-hmm. They'd get all dried and gnarly, and they could be fingers, you know, when you'd blindfold people and let them touch them. Or spaghetti, you know, were brains. All that crazy stuff. She did a sorority thing, when we were kids, and they did a haunted house in our house, and they actually worked with one of the funeral homes and had a casket brought in, and one of the members, one of my mom's sisters in the sorority, was telling everybody she was sick and she wasn't going to make it, so they put this coffin in the house, in the office, you know, and they had all these dark wind curtains and black everywhere and candles in there, and man, it was creepy. And that gal that was telling everybody she was going to be sick and not make the party was laying in the casket.
Oh, my goodness.
So people would come in, and they would see that, and then they would see a body in it, and they'd creep over there to them, and, you know, she'd feel their presence, and, you know, she'd either give them the finger or wink at them, blow them a kiss or something silly, man. But whenever she moved or something, those people would jump. Oh, my goodness. It was hilarious. And then when they came out of that room, it was you went around the staircase to go back to the main part of the party, and my brother and I were hiding on the staircase, and as they'd walk by, we'd reach out and grab them, you know, like grab their hair or brush their shoulder or something, and they'd really freak out. But it took them 2 weeks, man, to get that coffin out of the house. Oh,
you mean to have the funeral parlor come back and pick it up?
Yeah. We had the doors closed to that room, and I tell you what, you did not hesitate, because you had to go around the corner and then up the stairs. Mm-hmm. And if you went, instead of taking a right to go up the stairs, if you went straight, you went through that doorway where the, you know, where the coffin room was at. Man, you know, there was something waiting in there to grab you. I knew there was, even though, you know, I knew there wasn't, but right. Boy, there was. That was creepy. But Halloweeny, y'all, is coming. Halloween's so much fun for the kids and stuff, too. But not, I guess, when we were kids, you know, all the trick-or-treating and stuff we got to do. That's kind of been put on the back burner now for kids because of the nastiness people do to each other and all the crap that happens, which is unfortunate. Because, man, there was nothing like getting a big old bag of candy at Halloween. That was good stuff. So go online, y'all, if you want. Google Halloween recipes. And, oh, my goodness, there's all kinds of cool stuff fun little recipes, fun ideas, neat stuff you can do. So we're going to be doing ghost cheese pizzas. It's basically a white pizza.
Mm-hmm.
Roll the dough out and make it in the shape of a ghost and have at it, man. So that's what's on tap for today. But before we get into that, I want to go to an email that we got on Cooking in the Dark listserv, on the Cooking in the Dark email list. And this kind of is what this list is about. And Cheryl's got it there in front of her. What was the gentleman's name? Jeff?
Jeffrey. I should look that up. Give me a second.
Jeffrey. He is new to the list. He's kind of new to cooking. And right. He had a question making cornbread muffins. And he was wanting to know how people filled the muffin tins, what they did. And we had all kinds of great responses. But the best one came from Penny Reeder. And she suggested that she uses a 1/3 measuring cup, which is what I use. Same thing. So, see, greatness does flow together, right? Penny goes way back with us. But now I've used the 1/3 measuring cup. And then somebody else wrote in and said that they spray their muffin pan. They don't use the muffin papers, because they have a hard time, pouring the batter into the paper and not getting it, spilling it outside the paper, spilling it between the paper and the tin, things like that. And Penny had the ultimate solution, a canning funnel. Because, canning funnels have a wider mouth. They fit down over the jar lid. So if you do spill anything down the side of the funnel, it doesn't run over the lip of the jar. It's what a great idea. I never thought of using a canning funnel. I've got a canning funnel, but I never thought of using it for filling muffin tins, or muffin papers. And you could use that with muffin papers too, because you could put the funnel down inside the paper, and when you pour your batter in, from your measuring cup through mm-hmm. the funnel,
mm-hmm.
Quick, simple, and easy.
And I would say that, we talked about this. The nice thing about the measuring cup is that the amount all the time. So it's consistent. Yes. And, it won't be like I've made the mistake. In previous incarnations, I've had some muffins that have been like big, some a little small.
A little baby muffins, some like big ones throw out over the top of all over the place. Yeah,
right,
yeah.
Right.
And that's just simply, got to remember, we can't see y'all. And the only way you can see is by sticking your finger in there and pouring. And you can't tell when you're pouring or when you're scooping in or whatever how much. But if you use a measuring cup, scoop it out. And like Penny says, she levels it off.
Mm-hmm.
And then kind of, again, wipes the sides real quick, of the measuring cup where you've dipped into the batter. And then you just pour that into your muffin paper or your tin, right. Into the cavity. And if you use a canning funnel on top of it, you can't miss. And a canning funnel is so much better than a regular funnel, because a regular funnel, you're going to be there for a while. letting that batter seep down through that little bitty hole.
Right.
That'll take a while. So a canning funnel is definitely the way to go. But
so shout out to Mr. Jeffrey Miller.
Yeah, Jeffrey, thank you. And Penny Reeder, thank you too for stepping up and answering his questions. But more than that, we're going to be taking a little bit of a break here for a couple weeks after this show. So we will be back probably with the first week in November, second week in November, somewhere in there. Tim and Cheryl are going to be out of town. I'm going to be out of town. So we're not going to be able to get in here and get some shows recorded, but don't worry, we will be back. So we're going to take a little hiatus, but we're going to have some great reruns for you. I think we're going to do Witch's Fingers. That's one of my favorite shows. And then the Magic Man, Mr. Cummings, he'll pull something else out that'll be a great rerun that will keep you entertained and on the edge of your seat, and it will keep your belly full, I'm quite sure. That's just the way it works. So Cheryl, there was a neutron. He went into the bar to get a beer.
Mm-hmm.
Bartender walks up and says, "Man, what can I get you?" And Neutron says, "I'd like a beer." And the bartender says, "Okay, draft or bottle?" He says, "Bottle." Gets him a bottle. And Neutron says, "What do I owe you?" And the bartender says, "For you, no charge." See, that's a good little, yeah, you should have seen the couple that I could have told you. We'll have to talk after. I'll tell y'all at break. Not good for public, not good for the airwaves. Anyway, hey, I'm Dale Campbell. She's Cheryl Cummings. This is Cooking in the Dark. We will be right back, and we're going to make a ghost pizza. All right.
Casper, the friendly ghost, the friendliest ghost you know. Though grown-ups might look at him with fright, the children all love him so. He always says hello, and he's really glad to meet you.
Now here's more of the show with Dale Campbell and Cheryl Cummings.
All right, y'all. Individual ghost cheese pizzas. Now, like I told you, this is a white pizza, so that means it's just there's no tomato sauce on it. We're going to be using olive oil, not Popeye's olive oil. Then we're going to use a prepared pizza dough. Let me pull him out of the can here. This comes out of a can just like biscuits. Doink. He's going to be sticky. Let me put a little flour here. What I've got, y'all, is the our plastic sheet that's made for making pies and measuring pies and stuff. But it's just a big old plastic sheet. It's about 2 foot by 2 foot. I'm just going to sprinkle some flour out on it so that I can roll this dough. We want to divide up into basically 4 pieces, all about even size. Okay. And then we're going to want to roll these out into about 9-inch ovals, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the oval shape, because we're making a ghost, okay? So I've got my rolling pin. I'm just kind of rolling left and right here, squeezing it out. And we're going to roll north to south. Okay, let me get a little, flip this over. There we go. Not bad. Kind of stretch it, pull it. Now, I want to make it a little wider at the bottom. So I'm going to kind of pull it out towards the bottom, wider and down. So it's kind of got an elongated ghost shape, okay?
And I would say that the aim here is not to have all of the ghosts look exactly the same.
Exactly.
You want sort of a general, you know, ghosty looking shape.
And what that'll do is allow for a little individuality. Because every ghost is a little bit different, remember? Like in Casper, not all the ghosts were nice and friendly.
This is true.
Some were evil and mean. Okay. Let's roll another one out here. Now, what you can do, too, if you want, is start your dough a little bit less at the top. So instead of having a dough ball, okay, start with a ball. Kind of roll it out a little bit like you would if you were going to be making a snake.
Mm-hmm.
But have less at one at the top and more at the bottom. So when you do roll it out, see if this theory works out.
But you've already cut your ball into 4 pieces, right?
Yeah, I've cut the dough into 4 pieces. So I've got, yeah, I just pulled it apart. So okay. I've got so this one I'm just continuing to roll down towards me.
So, as you're doing that, I would love to read the ingredients to everybody.
Oh, yeah. Let's read that recipe.
All right. The recipe is super simple, like the whole thing you're going to be doing. So, you need 1 1-pound ball of prepared pizza dough, and then just a little bit of all-purpose flour for rolling the dough, as Dale said.
That came out perfect.
Awesome.
As I'm doing the snake with more of a bell curve to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that came out really nicely. I did one practicing, so we've got one more to go.
Okay. So we also then need 1 tablespoon olive oil, 1 clove garlic finely grated, kosher salt and freshly ground black pepper, 1 cup ricotta cheese, a third cup of grated Parmesan, half a teaspoon of dried Italian seasoning, 1.5 cups of shredded mozzarella, about 6 ounces, and 4 pitted black olives, ends trimmed and cut into 3 rounds. So we'll tell you why. But you could probably imagine why you might need the olives.
Because the ghosts like martinis.
Absolutely.
That's it.
Or, as Julia Childs used to do, a little wine for the food, a little martini for yourself.
That's right. So was our boy from Louisiana, too, oh, Justin. God, what was his last name? Justin, I can't remember his last name, but he always had a little red wine when he cooked, too. Because, you know, a little wine's good. A lot's better.
Especially for the chef.
Exactly. Well, you know, that's why when we made that beer bread, making beer bread, it calls for one beer for the bread and takes a whole 6-pack to make a loaf. Okay. Got this rolled out. Ooh, that's a cool witch. This is a cool ghost, too.
So did you do your same sort of thinner at the top? And
yeah, I kind of did the bell-shaped thing.
Right.
And it worked out really well. Let me take this first guy back. He needs to be more ghostly, in my opinion. He may disagree, but well. He's got to be a little more hauntingly delicious. So there's all kinds of stuff you can do. Kind of like just have some fun at Halloween. Now, Skylar, you know, she's all married now, y'all, living in Virginia,
mm-hmm.
being a wife. But she made, I guess she got this off Pinterest, but she took a jack-o'-lantern, a small jack-o'-lantern, and she made spinach dip, okay?
Mm-hmm.
She took that jack-o'-lantern and carved a face in it. And then when she served it, she made it look like the jack-o'-lantern had thrown up.
Oh, that's so cute.
I was like, that's awesome. So I'm going to re-roll this other one. This dough is kind of shrinking, so you might need to re-roll these because it is pizza dough. And we're putting this on parchment paper
right. Because
we're going to bake it pretty quickly.
So, yeah, it's going to go in an oven, I think, like 450 degrees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For just about 8 to 10 minutes.
Yep.
So before we put them in there, I should have had this already pre-made. I wasn't thinking ahead. We're going to take a little olive oil. Now, the recipe calls for fresh garlic. Chop up a couple cloves of fresh garlic. I'm going to use garlic powder.
That'll be good. So you'll have to whisk the powder and the oil together. Or
yeah.
Are you just going to sprinkle one and dab the other? I don't know. Do either
yeah,
way.
We can do either way.
Yeah.
I'm going to just rub this dough, rub our pizza dough with some olive oil. Okay. There's that one. This is the old, every time I do this, I think of Henry Casson. This is the old Henry Casson trick. When he owned that Italian restaurant, he said, we did this on all of our pizzas.
Oh, you mean put the oil and the garlic on first?
Mm-hmm. Garlic butter.
Yeah.
They used butter and garlic. And then they would brush, after the pizza baked and came out, they would brush the top of it, too, with a little garlic butter. Not a lot, just a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. We were listening. There's this television show that comes on. And last night their focus was all about pizza.
Nice. Well, you know, October is National Pizza Month.
I didn't know that. Wow.
Okay. I've got all 4 of them there coated with oil. Let me get our garlic powder. And I'm just going to lightly dust these with garlic powder. Not too heavily.
Right.
Just a little bit. because we don't want a whole lot. I'm just going to rub a little bit more. And as you kind of rub again, you can kind of feel, you can feel where you got the garlic powder at. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about that joke. No charge for you. I need to be a neutron too. All right, we've got our pizza dough, our ghost bodies. We're going to let them go for about 8 to 10 minutes. And that's a 450-degree oven. Right. Okay. So now that we're done with that, Cheryl, why don't you go ahead and read us the recipe?
I will reread the recipe.
Did you read the whole thing? I thought I interrupted you.
Well, you did, but I kept going.
Uh-oh. Oh, you did?
It's okay. It's been years. I know how to manage.
I'm used to the interruptions.
So, but the cool thing is now that the dough is in the oven, we can like start mixing up some other stuff, because once you take it out of the oven, we've got to add the cheese and that sort of fun stuff.
Yes, we'll start preparing that. I'm going to take my plastic board here, my mat. I'm going to kind of wipe the excess flour, just kind of scoot it to the sink. Because I'm set up on the countertop here next to the sink. So I'm just kind of wiping this to go to the edge of the sink. Okay. So why don't we take five. We'll come back right back on the other side here. And we'll throw together our ingredients, what we need to do to put in the, to make our cheese pizzas with. I'll have Cheryl read that recipe again, because obviously I was talking and not listening, so I missed it. We'll be right back on Cooking in the Dark.
Now with more of the show, here's Cheryl Cummings and Dale Campbell.
Spooky doings. Welcome back to Cooking in the Dark.
My dad used to, he had a reel-to-reel, my stepfather, recorder, and he would record stuff, chains and his voice, and then he'd play that back real slow and have it set up so it went, you know, we played it out over the, outside the house. Nobody, them little kids, they wouldn't come close to our house for trick-or-treat, which was ultimate because, you know why? For Dale.
Oh my goodness.
When nobody comes to get the candy, guess who gets the candy? Woohoo! Bonus.
You're like, what a tragedy. Nobody showed up.
That's why I like to be a 55-year-old trick-or-treating. Where do you? I'm a 55-year-old trick-or-treater. But you're only 52. I know. That's my costume.
Or you pick up random kids. Hey, I can take you trick-or-treating.
Yeah. Or go out and just catch kids and confiscate what they got. Come here.
Okay, we're not...
Actually, our neighbor boozed us. And I think if you'll Google this, I mean, Candace did, it starts off, "You've been boozed." And it's this cool little poem that you put on a bottle of alcohol, you know, be it a bottle of wine or whatever. And I'm like, oh, what a great idea, Candace. So we're going to go buy some rum and booze some of our friends. Booze. Yeah, I just love all this inventiveness, you know, this originality of stuff. It's so cool. That's why I enjoy this time of year looking through. It takes me forever. I was up at 4 a.m, y'all, going through recipes the other day. Yeah, it was just awesome. So let me catch y'all up here as I'm bannering on and yankling. I've taken the, put on my kitchen grips, and I've taken the pizza, our ghost bodies, the pizza dough out of the oven. It was a 450-degree oven for about 10 minutes, I guess they were in there. And during that time, I was going to get everything together so we could make all this other stuff, but I got to yakking with some people up here in the front row. And you know me, I'll talk to a hole in the wall as long as it answers or doesn't. It's even better if it doesn't. So I'm going to be making up our cheese mixture here. We're going to need some ricotta cheese. We're going to need a little Parmesan cheese, some Italian seasoning. We're going to mix all that up. And I've got about a cup and a half of mozzarella cheese here that I've just grated. So we're good there. So we're going to need 1 cup of ricotta cheese, correct?
Yes.
Okay. That's the garlic powder. We don't need that. That's the Italian seasoning. There's the ricotta cheese. Oh, there's the eyeballs. Oh, I gave it away, didn't I?
Mm-hmm. You did.
That's good. Yeah, the olives, y'all, we're going to be using for the eyeballs. Let me get this perfect mixing bowl out here. Pop our top. Now, you know, last week we used some ricotta cheese, and if I had planned ahead, I would have saved that. We could have used it for this recipe, but I didn't. Instead, I used it to make some veggie roll-ups.
Oh, nice.
I mean, lasagna rollers, whatever you want to call them.
Mm-hmm.
Which were pretty excellent, if I do say so myself. Basically, you boil lasagna noodles, y'all, and then you take the ricotta cheese and some pasta sauce, and if you want to use some ground meat or whatever you want to use, spinach, you spread it out on the one side of the lasagna noodle, and then you roll that out. I mean, once you spread it out, then you roll it up. Then you put them in a baking pan, and then you put pasta sauce over them and bake them. And they are delicious.
Yeah.
If I do say so myself, and I will, because I am myself. Ha, ha, ha. Oh, so hey, at the beginning of the show, we were talking about, man, I've been all over the place today. Lack of sleep does that. My non-24 is kicking up, y'all, so you have to deal with me. Cheryl has been. When Cheryl hears that, she's like, oh, no. She starts looking through her contract for combat pay. I'm just all over the place. I'm like, woohoo, hey, woohoo.
I'm more sensitive than that. But all right, go ahead.
I can hear you looking in your contract again. Hey. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, so there's our cup of ricotta cheese.
And then we need like a third cup of Parmesan.
Excellent. Now, our grocery store here, they've got pre-shredded Parmesan cheese. And they also have some pre-shredded Italian Parmesan cheese.
Ooh.
Some Parmesan that has a little Italian seasoning in it.
That sounds nice.
That's what we got for this. What's nice, too, is it comes in a resealable bag, you know, with the... Whoever was the first person to invent doing that, they had it going on.
Right.
Putting Ziploc on,
right.
On stuff. But okay. And a third cup of the Parmesan cheese. And y'all don't use the stuff in the green can, please.
It's not real.
Just saying. Okay. Now we need about 2 teaspoons of the Italian.
About 1.
Okay. Well, you know, if 1's good, 2's better.
Wow. Actually, it's half.
Okay. Well, then I guess 1 will do us. 1's fine.
1's good. 1's good.
Okay. So we've got 1 cup of ricotta cheese.
Right.
1/2 teaspoon of Italian seasoning.
Right.
And 3.
A third.
3. Yeah. 1/3 cup of Parmesan cheese.
Right. And then we need 1.5 cups of shredded mozzarella.
Okay. Do we mix that in with this?
It's the 2 cheeses, the ricotta and the Parmesan and the seasoning. That goes on first.
Okay. And then we spread that. We're going to spread this on our ghosts. Oh, nice. Nice.
And then once you mix that up and you sprinkle it on the ghost, then you put on the mozzarella.
Okay.
And then you and then it's almost pizza time.
Ghosts. They're going woo. Whoa.
I was an avid fan of Casper. I must
say. Casper was cool. Now, this ricotta cheese mixture, y'all, is going to be pretty thick. You want to spread it on. Take it out about to within about a half inch or so of the edge of the pizza, of the crust, of the edge of your ghosts. And what I did, I started off, I just put a tablespoon, a real tablespoon. mm-hmm. I just put a spoonful right in the middle of the body. And I'm just kind of spreading it out with my fingers, working it out. Oh, we've got to get some up here by his head. Don't want to be a headless ghost. Okay. Here's this one. And again, to check your finger is going to be about a half an inch. Okay. Give or take. Again, there's going to be nobody coming behind you with the talking tape measure, checking your numbers, you know, eating your mistakes, maybe.
If anybody is like, oh, you went too far, you're like,
give me that. I'll have to eat that.
Exactly. You're like, I'm so sorry. I will have to eat the pizza by myself.
That's what I'm sorry. If anybody complains, just okay. Thank you. Take it away.
I appreciate the input. I will just take it and eat it myself. No worries.
I've had that happen before. Complaining about it. So I'm like, oh, give it back. Oh, okay. So then shut up. If it's not that big a deal. But, I was talking to one of our friends the other day about stuff, and we were just chit-chatting about, you know. And it is. It's not just me or you. It's everybody. I mean, some people, when they know that somebody blind has made something, they won't eat it.
Wow.
You know? And I find that so offensive, but at the same time, so stupid. Because, I mean, I make some pretty good stuff, man.
Right.
And sometimes I'll do that on purpose, just to mess with them. But that's like when I make mushroom bombs, you know, load them up with white pepper, and you can't see it, so these little mushrooms look so timid and shy. But they will light you up. Ooh, this ghost is kind of bumply, man. He's kind of 3D.
Uh-oh.
the dough kind of popped up a little bit on him. Awesome. Mm-hmm.
Can I ask, you said the pizza dough that you bought was in a can?
And I didn't know it was in a can. I was expecting it to come in a bag.
Yeah.
No, in a ball. But yeah, it comes in a can. It's made by, it was actually 13, it wasn't quite a pound. It was 13 ounces or so.
Mm-hmm.
But it still worked out perfectly.
Nice. Okay. Because I've usually seen it, like you get it from the store and it's in a ball.
Mm-hmm. In a ball, like in a frozen area or something, you know?
Right.
Where the other bread doughs and things like that are at. But yeah, this actually came in a can, just kind of like a big biscuit can.
Right.
You know, peel the paper off, pop it, and it thunked right out.
That would be nice.
I did let it get to, I mean, I kept it stored, of course, in the fridge until we were ready for it. But I did pull it out about an hour before we started taping.
Okay.
To let it kind of warm up a little bit, just because I thought it might be better to be warm.
Right.
For what we need to do with it. Okay, so I've been sitting here the whole time we've been talking. I've been spreading our ricotta cheese and Parmesan mixture all over our ghosts. And as I'm doing it, I'm just kind of putting my finger on the edge to, and I just kind of spread the ricotta cheese out to where it touches my finger. If I find a place that I need a little more, I just reach in my bowl, grab a little more ricotta cheese mixture, and pop it on here. Because we don't want it super thick, but we don't want it – there's no sense to be chintzy either.
Right.
No?
But I think I understand why they tell you not to pull it all the way out to the edges, right? Because it's going to melt.
Yeah.
And it's going to expand.
Pizza's got it.
Yeah.
These are still pizzas. They're ghosts, but they're pizzas. They've got a personality. They got to have a crust.
This is true.
Hurt your little feelings. They'll come back and haunt you after you eat them. We don't want that to happen. Okay, so we're about ready to finish this up. Why don't we take five real quick? And or not five. We'll just take a two or maybe a one. give you guys a chance to go do your thing, get another drink, hang out, get refresh that glass of iced tea that I know you're sipping on with anticipation. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back on Cooking in the Dark.
Now, more of the show with your host, Dale Campbell and Cheryl Cummings.
Okay, y'all, we're back. I'm just grating a little more mozzarella cheese here for the final step in making these awesome ghost pizzas for Halloween-y.
This is a fun project to do with your kids.
Oh, this would be an excellent one to do with the kids. Yes, sir, indeedy. It's a great one to do with Dale.
Actually, let's just say it's a fun project to do with anybody. You could even just invite your adult friends over and sit around and make pizza. How's that?
Yes. Well, it'd be even funner with adults, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Have another use for those black olives. Okay, so now we're going to cover our ghosts with mozzarella cheese. Again, I'm kind of still using the same method as before. I'm grabbing a pinch of cheese, the grated cheese, in between my fingers, my thumb and fingers, of one hand, and I'm just kind of laying it on our pizza, on our ghost bodies. But again, I'm kind of keeping my finger to the edge to make sure we don't get a lot of cheese going off. We still want to try to maintain that half-inch neutral zone. Our guests could call it, if anything else, around the outside edge here of the pizzas.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Very good. That dude's done. Get him. Oh, yeah, I got to get some on your head. Okay. And this goes pretty quickly. This would be a great project for the kids to help with, as Cheryl was saying. Because, I mean, kids love getting in the kitchen and helping cook.
They do.
Especially if grandma's making a cake, because woohoo, guess who gets the bowl? My cousins aren't around. It's all good for Dale.
Well, and as we were talking about early on, prior to recording, is that I think, I don't know if they're formal studies or whatever, but I know people have said a lot of times, you know, one of the best ways to get kids to try foods and to eat stuff is to bring them in the kitchen with you and have them help make food. Because a lot, you know, if they make it, they're going to want to taste it. They're going to see how it comes out.
So. Now, I have a nephew that is, he does not eat anything, you know?
Right.
And then, like, our neighbor, you know, Andrew, he hated vegetables. Now he loves them. But as a kid, I mean, I tell that story all the time. I made a vegetable lasagna and the neighbors were over and his mom asked, you know, I mean, he's sitting there just gobbling it down.
Mm-hmm.
And she asked, what is in this, Dale? And I said, it's a vegetable lasagna. She didn't eat another bite. So I've got all of our ghosts covered. Now the final step, we've still got our oven at 450 degrees. We're going to pop these back in the oven for just about 5 minutes. You don't want to burn the cheese. We just want to melt it.
Yeah.
Get it all soft so it melts and gets all nice and chewy and gooey. So we're in the oven. Beautiful. Thank you, ma'am. Okay. Got our time for 5 minutes. We're in that 450 oven, and away we go. So let's recap, y'all. We took pre-made pizza dough. Pretty simple to use. Pop the can open. Break it off into four pieces. And what I found when I was rolling them out, if you roll them out kind of like a snake, but roll them out more in a bell shape,
mm-hmm.
so it's thinner at the top than at the bottom, as you roll the dough out, it'll kind of create that natural ghost shape, you know, where you've got more of the head at the top, and then it kind of tapers down wider to the bottom, you know, like a full, like the full skirt ghost that you used to see on Scooby-Doo. So once you want to definitely put some flour out. If you have this awesome, like, pie cutting, measuring little template plastic thing, I don't know what else to call it, It's very cool. It's like 22 by 22 inches. But being made of plastic, I get it out all the time when I'm cooking and baking so that whatever, I don't spill on the cabinet.
Right.
Whatever gets messed up gets on top of this, and I can just rinse this off in the sink. And then I even hang it to dry it. So, but I sprinkle a little flour on that because when you pull the dough out, you're going to realize that stuff's sticky. It's kind of tacky. So that helps to keep it from sticking to your rolling pin, sticking to your surface. If you don't have that, just go ahead and sprinkle some flour on your countertop, and it'll all clean up. It's all right. It's all good, man. But you want to roll your pizzas out, your dough out, to the shape of your ghosts. And then you want to have your olive oil, and if you do the like the two cloves, I think it just said one clove of garlic, kind of shredded.
Yeah, it did say one clove.
I just used about a teaspoon of garlic powder, but you can put that in with your olive oil and mix it up, or do like I did. I just kind of sprinkled it on top of the pizzas. Mm-hmm. Afterwards, mixing it up in the oil is going to give you a more even consistency, which is probably recommended. Then you want to add a little salt and pepper onto your pizzas as well. I didn't use any black pepper. I just did a little bit of kosher salt because it's a ghost. It's a white pizza. I didn't want to have him speckled with any black pepper. Then after you put your pie crust back in the oven, you want to bake them for about 8 to 10 minutes at 450 degrees. Pull them out. While they're kind of cooling, mix up your ricotta cheese, your Parmesan cheese, and your Italian seasoning. Then come back and spread that over your pizzas, your ghosts, and then come back with the mozzarella cheese over the top of that. Throw them back in the oven for about 5 minutes, and I've got the olives all ready. And these are olive slices. I just got slices. You can get whole olives and slice them yourselves. In fact, I was thinking, you know, if I would have got whole olives, I could have sliced like two of them lengthwise.
Yeah.
You know, to make like an oval eye, and then you could have had like an evil looking eyes on them. But the olives are going to be used for eyes. Or you could cut it crossways and just make round ones. But I use I've got the biggest round ones I could find, just kind of feeling through my sliced olives, mm-hmm. for the mouths. Like, oh! Then I've got a couple of cool little half pieces, just little slits that I'll use for the eyes on a couple of them. And a couple of them, I've got some round ones, some smaller round slices that I'll use for the eyes. But when our pizza comes, when it comes out, we're going to throw the olives on. And then everybody in the audience, you need to check your lottery tickets because we'll be drawing numbers for who gets these pizzas. All right. So we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back on the other side. We'll be pulling these pizzas out and giving them away. Don't go anywhere. This is Cooking in the Dark. We'll be right back.
Now with more of the show, here's Cheryl Cummings and Dale Campbell.
Welcome back to Spooky Cooking in the Dark.
Come on, Cheryl, give us your witch.
I can't do it.
No, I can't do it either. I make a better monster than a witch.
Next year.
Although I know a girl from high school.
Oh, my gosh. I am willing to I'm reading the recipe.
Okay. So. I just put on my kitchen grips. Here's our ghosts. Now, I've got my olives because we've got to put eyes on them. So, oh, yeah. Beautiful. Our cheese has melted nicely. There's one, two eyes. And there's the mouth. Whoa. Let me get the other ones over here. Okay. Go ahead and read the recipe. I'm putting eyes on here.
All right. So,
now
what?
You can see.
Here are the ingredients needed for this marvelous. Here are the ingredients needed for this marvelous pizza.
Our ghosts are talking now because they got mouths.
We need one 1 pound ball of pizza dough, a little bit of flour for rolling out the dough, 1 tablespoon olive oil, 1 clove garlic finely grated, kosher salt and freshly ground black pepper, 1 cup ricotta cheese, 1/3 cup of grated Parmesan. Use the real stuff.
Please use the real stuff.
1/2 teaspoon of dried Italian seasoning. and 1.5 cups of shredded mozzarella, about 6 ounces. And then you need 4 pitted black olives, ends trimmed and cut into rounds.
That's right. Or ovals.
Or ovals, yes.
For the eyes and the mouth. And the mouth. So your ghost can talk. They can go, whoa.
And if that's too distressing, start by just chomping off the head.
Hey, now listen to you. She said it, ghost, not me. All right, Cheryl, reach in that box right there and pull out a number. Just read the last 3 numbers on the ticket.
3, 4, 6.
3, 4, 6. That's mine.
Wait, you no, weren't I'm supposed joking. To play.
Hey, go see Cheryl. I'll bring these over there in a second. Okay. We're going to keep on giving some of these tickets away, but first we're going to give this first one away because we want to build the suspense. All right, y'all. Cooking in the Dark, personal, individual, ghost cheese pizzas for Halloween. What a great little thing to throw out on the dinner table for your kids for this time of year. Gotta have fun with it, you know? Gotta have fun. So, for Cheryl Cummings, I'm Dale Campbell. For the Magic Man, we will see you all again on Cooking in the Dark.
Cooking in the Dark is a presentation of Blind Mice Mega Mall at www.blindmicemegamall.com.
Cooking in the Dark was produced by THC Productions. Again.